Y'all know what it is.
Already?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the rap game, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that.
Here we are. It's another Miguel and Holly Uncensored on an explosive news day.
Woo!
Here in Tampa Bay. It's a Wednesday.
Yes.
That we're recording this. So you may be listening tomorrow, Thursday, or maybe
sometime in the future that hasn't happened yet.
No, maybe it's 3 weeks from now.
Hmm.
Who knows?
That's weird.
But today, right now, everyone in Tampa Bay woke up to news that the Seminole Heights serial killer has been apprehended.
Yes.
Or the suspected Seminole Heights killer has been apprehended. Also, in the middle of our show today, it was announced that Matt Lauer from the Today Show has been fired over sexual misconduct allegations. There has just been so much going on today.
Yeah.
And then there's a tweet from President Donald Trump that says, wow, Matt Lauer was just fired from NBC. But when will the top executives at NBC and Comcast be fired for putting out so much fake news?
Hashtag fake news.
That's what we're choosing to talk about. Not the fact that North Korea has missiles that they are launching with warheads on them that could potentially reach D.C. No, no, that's not it. Not that they're trying to pass a tax bill that could be taking money out of your pocketbook.
But see, it's not surprising to me. Like, we elected a businessman slash television personality the president.
But can we really call him a businessman?
Yeah, because he was a businessman before he was a TV person.
I also was skinny when I was in high school, but can you call me skinny?
That's different. That's different.
Well, anyway, my name is Miguel Fuller. This is Holly O'Connor.
Hi.
And that is producer Ryan McGibney.
Hi.
Who looks very tired. Are you okay?
I'm good.
Ryan, I don't actually know what Ryan looks like when he's not tired, so we're just going to assume that's what Ryan looks like. That's what's Ryan. Miguel, that's Ryan's face.
No, that's his face. You know, I have this great theory, and this has nothing to do with economics. I don't know how this would actually work financially, but I really feel like after every certain amount of years, you should accrue like a month or two off of vacation time, like a sabbatical.
Mm.
Because think, like, here in America, like, we work and we work and we work and we work and we work, and everybody's tired. There's not one person who's like, ha ha, I'm bounding about looking happy. I mean, even the healthiest of people I know who go to CrossFit, who eat healthy, who work out, who are like machines, some days they walk in, they're like, girl, I'm tired.
I don't even know if you could get around that, though. I mean, even if you did take a sabbatical from work, there'd be some other reason that you would get tired.
No, it's true, but I feel like you know what? I'll take the word tired out and use exhaustion. The exhaustion. And the reason why I say this is because those 6 months that we didn't work,
yeah,
I have never felt better physically
true
than when we didn't work for 6 months.
And I will say that when I did middays at a country station in Ohio,
mm-hmm,
and I did that for nearly 4 years before I got into morning radio. So, I mean, mm-hmm, I had a full career before mornings.
Yeah.
I felt fucking fantastic. As a matter of fact, every day that I woke up from my job, which I loved, you know, right, I loved my job, I thought to myself, God, I'm so well rested. I'm not kidding, because I woke up I didn't need an alarm. I woke up every morning of my own volition, usually right around 8 a.m. It was a good wake-up time for me. I went to bed at about, I don't know, 11:30, midnight, got a full 8 hours. Like, wow. I said, didn't need an alarm, and just felt good. I miss that feeling. But then again, also, I made less money.
Valid.
I wasn't afforded some of the cool opportunities I am now.
Right.
And I didn't have a kid.
No,
so
that is true.
You throw that into the mix. And
yeah, none of that.
Just,
that's true.
But I will say, if you can work like a job that's like that, like, right, I think it was a 9-to-5 basically for me.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
Ugh, I just, so it's fine.
Sounds nice.
Yeah.
I know. I don't mean to bring all that up, but I was just, we're all looking a little haggard here in studio. Well, it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Since we have been on the podcast, there's been a lot of stuff that's happened. Stuff with Holly's mom has been going on. There was Thanksgiving. So I don't know what sort of order you sort of want to dissect everything, Holly.
I don't even know when the last podcast was that we did.
It was before everything with your mom.
Okay, so I didn't talk about my mom yet?
No, not at all. The last thing we talked about that was big was my missing chicken. Remember that?
Simpler times. Simpler times.
If you didn't, you should go back and listen to that podcast. The last one we did where someone stole my chicken.
No developments on that one?
No, I still don't know who stole my chicken.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if the person that stole it knows all that went on about it.
I don't know.
And it's just like, that was me.
No, I'm curious. I wonder if way later we'll find out. I forgot. Somebody tweeted us over the Thanksgiving holiday and was like, did you find the thief? And I was like, what fresh hell are they talking about? I liked it, but I was like, what is this about? I don't know. Mm. One possible thing. It was about the chicken.
Nah.
It just hit me. It was about the chicken.
The thief is still out there.
Yeah.
But we do have the Seminole Heights killer, so that's
at least good. I would rather have that thief, not thief, that person killer apprehended than your chicken thief.
You know, I'm going to be interested as the story unfolds to see what led this person to kill four
Absolutely.
People in our community.
Absolutely.
What's just so frustrating is that obviously the deaths of those people, but then the ripple effects of that,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I changed some of my patterns in my life, even though, you know, I don't live in Seminole Heights. I live on the other side of the bridge.
Yeah.
But still, I changed some of my patterns, and I'm sure I have friends who own homes in Seminole Heights, and they were really nervous because, one, for their safety, two, because this was a national story,
mm-hmm.
and so spread across CNN and all the major outlets was Seminole Heights, serial killer, and so that sort of deters people, new people, from coming in and for the local businesses that are there.
Yeah.
And so it's just this ripple, and then he was found in Ybor. I'm at the McDonald's there, and so I've been to that. We all probably been to that McDonald's before, and so it's like the people who I know who live over there, they're like, did he walk down the streets of Ybor looking to kill someone? Did I see this guy when I went to McDonald's?
My biggest thing is, like, what prompted any of this? How does a normal, rational person just shoot four people?
Mm.
Something is not right with this kid.
Right.
He's young. He's 24.
Oh, he's 24?
Yes.
Ugh.
Something is not right because normal, healthy people do not shoot strangers.
You know, and I don't know how. Blah, blah, blah. I watched the show Mindhunter on Netflix.
Yeah.
And it basically talks about how the FBI coined the term serial killer and how it came about. And basically, it was two FBI agents who worked in the behavioral side of things.
Yeah.
Who there was like a couple of people at that time who had, like, Charles Manson, who had just been arrested. And they were like, they're seeing this pattern of people that are killing multiple people. And at first they called them sequence killers because it was in a sequence. And then we haven't really gotten to the serial part yet in this first season. But one of the things that they talked about at the beginning, and I'm sure as this show goes on, they'll talk about the complicated nature of it all. But a lot of it at the beginning of their studies came down to, like, they had, like, parent-mother issues.
I'm sure. Listen, most issues that any of us deal with as adults somehow stem from our child life.
So do you think if you are waking up this morning and you're finding out that this is your son and you don't know about that, how do you grapple with that? How do you even begin to process? Do you then start going over, you know, did I discipline them too hard? Or does that make you, Holly, as a mother, start to say, well, what am I doing or saying that's going to negatively or adversely affect my child?
I think, I mean, anything, let even leave serial killing out of it. Like, any time you're making a choice as a parent on how to parent your kid, mm-hmm. you're like, I don't know if this is what's right. But
is that scary?
Yes, it's horrifying.
I mean, because that's every decision. Because right now, Your daughter who's four is in that why. Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
But here's what I will say is that because you do see some of the people, and then some people, the parents, and they've interviewed them and they've studied them extensively, and it wasn't anything the parent did. It's just, I think that you do need to make it an even trade-off of nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
And I point to actually your family, Miguel. Because you and your brother came from the same mother.
Right.
And you both took very different paths in life.
Right.
So, like, how did that happen? And if a parent is doing what they think is best for the kid at the time, and obviously this excludes, like, if you're an abusive parent.
Right.
I mean, your kid's going to be messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say your parent is trying to do everything they can, and they're trying to do the right thing, and then you still end up with a serial killer for a child. Right. I couldn't wrap my brain around that. Mm. At some point, you have to be able to give yourself forgiveness for you. And this is what I've actually come to realize in the last couple of weeks on some sort of a separate tangent. When you have a child, they came from you. You birthed them. Mm-hmm. You're raising them, but they don't belong to you.
Mm.
You're birthing a completely separate, autonomous human being.
Mm.
And they're yours in the fact that it's your job to care for them and try to bring them up right, as far as, you know, morally, obeying laws, being a productive member of society. But it's not like you're parenting a clone of yourself. It's not like you're parenting in a vacuum. Your kids are going to get influenced by a lot of different things, and you can only do the best that you can do. And like I said, as it's a kid, as a standalone being, like, you don't claim to be your mother.
Right.
I don't claim to be my mother. No child claims to be them. Some people who really have great relationships with their mom hope to ask, they aspire to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you ask those people who have great relationships with their moms, they don't want to be them.
Right.
Because you're a separate person. So when you're parenting, and this is really, I read a great book that really pointed this out, but it's like, don't parent how you should have been parented, because you're not parenting yourself. Figure out your own shit and then try to parent the best you can to that kid. So I go back to this whole serial killer situation, like the guy in Seminole Heights. Maybe he had some fucked up situation with his parents and that led to this. Or maybe he had a great situation with his parents and somewhere along the line, some screw popped loose.
He snapped.
I think that's the biggest crux of this whole situation.
Wow.
Or any situation where you have a killer. Why? So, and I'm not talking about the killers that are, like, you know, in passion or revenge. Like, for these unmotiveless crimes, and maybe we will find a motive, but for these unmotiveless crimes, it's like, what is wrong with you?
Right. And that's what scares me the most.
Yeah.
Is when it's like, there's like, what, these are just random people that were standing at a bus stop.
I know. What prompted this?
Mm.
It's truly scary. That's the truly scary thing for me.
Were you scared, Ryan?
Was I scared?
Mm-hmm.
I just stayed away from the area.
He's like, I mean, I wasn't scared, but I didn't go over there. I think that was smart. Yeah. I don't think anybody was like, I'm just going to go post up in Seminole Heights in the dark.
Right, at 3:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw a thing of some people that were walking around to sort of like escort ones that were by themselves.
Like neighborhood watch type people?
Yeah. And I'm like,
Well, because some people had to.
I mean, I guess they're in
like, you got to get to work.
A big group, so.
I mean, like, imagine if our radio station was in Seminole Heights, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Community effort.
Yeah.
No, it's true. I mean, they had to come together to show people that, hey, they were, you know, with it. Like, I always give politicians like that credit. Like, I do give Mayor Bob Buckhorn credit for, I mean, he was like very, had tough language when it came to dealing with the situation and walking the streets of Seminole Heights and stuff. But I feel like this is why I wouldn't be a great politician, because that's where I'd be scared.
You'd be like, bye.
I'd be in my office with security being like, we hope they are apprehended.
Oh, damn.
From my desk.
If there was like a situation like in St. Pete, 4th Street, North St. Pete, I would hope they would put some patrol people.
Girl, we'd be doing this. We'd be doing the show from corporate in Atlanta. I'd be like, they're going to have to fly to Atlanta, because I wouldn't be able to deal. I'd be like, nope.
Ay vey.
Well, moving on to happier, drunker things.
Oh! I love this music.
Do you hang that low? Do you get it on the floor? Do you want to wobble? Do you want to gobble? Do you want to get some turkey and eat some mushrooms?
Freestyling that?
Yep. He's the worst freestyler I know. Nothing rhymes. Nothing fits in the cadence of the song.
You want to get on the floor? Do you want to go?
You want to eat turkey and mashed potatoes? You didn't even try to go for lurky. Do you want to get turkey? Do you want to get lurky?
That song during your Thanksgiving get together?
I wish.
Oh my gosh.
No.
My boyfriend, he was very mad. He tagged me in the post about it, about the green beans,
tomatoes, potatoes, lamb, you name it.
And he was like, "Oh my God, we didn't play it." So we really
missed the boat.
We really did. That's because we were drunk.
Valid.
But I'm cooking dinner for him on a Thursday, so I said we can play it for ourselves.
Not as fun.
I know, but it's just we need to. I need to hear it.
Okay.
I need to hear it once. So Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Ryan, you went to Fort Lauderdale with your girlfriend Taryn.
I did.
Is she your fiance?
No. Well,
you. Look at his face. Man.
Why you turn so red?
He was like, "Get that out of here."
Why you turn so red,
bitch? Already went over this.
And why you pushing, Miguel?
Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Why you pushing?
I'm not pushing. Nope. I'm just exploring.
You just played "Will You Marry Me" by Jason Derulo.
I can't hear the song.
Oh.
Because somebody stole my headphone jack.
Yeah. Oh. Well, they stole mine. And I stole Ryan's. I need to get some quarter-inch jacks. Listen, I just have to ask because
not yet.
Right, you're not going to tell us before it happens, but...
It's not going to be for years, Miguel.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see how the cookie crumbles.
Okay,
why'd
Dad.
That sound like the most unnatural thing that's ever come from your mouth? It's the way the cookie crumbles. I used to hate with my grandma when I was younger, whenever there'd be something fun on the weekends, and she'd be like, "All good things must come to an end." I'd be like, "I know, bitch! I got it." To always say that. And I don't know why, because that was just her being like...
Oh, people like to do that? My mom, every time we'd have people over or there'd be a fun party or a birthday, at the end, when like it's you know it's on that like teetering edge where things are about to come, mm-hmm. She'd go, "The party's over." And I'd be like, "You don't need to say it, let alone sing it. Shh. Why are you..." Every gathering, the party's stop. Anyway.
All good things must come to an end. Got it.
Why are they party poopers?
All the time. Well, Ryan, how was Thanksgiving with your girlfriend's family?
It was great. We had two Thanksgivings, one at her on her dad's side of the family, and then her mom's.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went around South Beach and explored Miami, saw all the Art Deco buildings. I flew the drone a little bit, almost got attacked by birds.
So oh.
I had to outrun birds with my drone.
I kind of like that story.
That's pretty much it. A lot of relaxing. Didn't really go out much. She wanted to, but then we were like, eh.
No drinking?
Nah.
Did y'all do it?
Maybe.
Listen, I always wonder when you, this is a conversation I've thought about, but I haven't had this with my boyfriend yet. Because I'm going home with him to Buffalo, New York, and we're going to be up there for 5 days, and we're driving both ways. So I'm like, when do we?
You're driving?
Yeah, we're driving.
Anything happen in the car, Miguel?
We'll find out, I'll tell you. In 2018, girl.
Oh, my goodness.
But, like, because were you staying with her mom or her sister? Who were y'all staying with?
At her dad's and her mom's. They have, where her mom stays, well, I guess her stepdad now, they have a little shed in the back that they've turned into, like, this air-conditioned room with a bed in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you were
separated.
So you were away from the house.
I was.
So they couldn't hear anything.
Nope.
And what happened? What had happened was what?
How many times did you get that turkey giblet?
Well, let's say the curtains were closed.
Oh.
So that shed was a rocking?
No comment.
No comment!
Then you better not come a knocking. Huh. How many times?
I don't remember.
Oh!
More than once a day, Ryan?
No, not on trips like that. It's kind of hard.
I bet it is hard.
Okay. Just Harvey Weinstein.
Family and stuff, and it's weird. And like, I don't know. Oh.
All right, so it was more it was
more cautious than normal.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. Well, and I feel like it's
more reserved.
Yeah, it's a little difficult on during the Thanksgiving holiday because you're drinking and you're eating and you're eating some more and you're drinking some more and it's like
nobody feeling their sexiest over Thanksgiving.
No, I was like that Wednesday night as we were prepping or after we prepped the food and like we had like a little we each had like a slice of pizza and a bunch of wine and so then it was like hey there. But then come Thursday until the rest, like, no, don't get off me. I feel like the turkey we just ate.
Yeah.
I feel stuffed.
Correct.
Full of stuffing and carbs.
Yeah.
Holly, how was your Thanksgiving?
Well, do you want to jump into this or no? Because my Thanksgiving involves my mom.
That is true.
So, I'll first say this. I went over to your house for Thanksgiving, which was awesome. And my boyfriend, Mr. Dimples, and I agreed that it's one of the best Thanksgivings we've had in a really long time.
Did you? Oh, Holly.
Oh, yeah. We didn't tell you that?
No.
Yes.
That literally, like, I have a shit-eating grin on my face right now.
I see that.
That just makes me so happy.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. Oh. And I know we left a little early. We missed a damn sing-along.
Sorry. Those always come late in the night when all the straights leave and the gays are drunk.
Mm.
That's when all it takes is one person to put on Rent. And everyone's like, take that out. 525.
They all stand up in line. Get in line. 500. Yeah, I understand. It's fine. No, but it was a really great night because the food was amazing. All of it. So that was great. And then it was just good company. And I had a lot going on mentally. So it was a good escape for me. So I really, really enjoyed it, actually.
I will say, before you get into everything, I could feel, because I know you so well, and I could feel you trying to fake the funk, if you will, and you were trying to fake the fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt my heart went out to you because I know when Holly's just generally relaxed and having fun and when you're trying to like enjoy yourself and like forget about stuff.
Awkward.
No. Probably only I or your boyfriend who knows you well would be able to see it.
Yeah.
But I felt for you in that moment because of everything you're going through. And it's hard to get through the holidays when you have someone you know and love who's supposed to be there, not there.
Right.
And so that's why I felt for you in that moment.
Yeah. It was tough. It was tough. It's been a tough couple of weeks, actually.
So what is going on with your mom?
Okay, so today is Wednesday, November 29th. So exactly 2 weeks ago today, Miguel and I were about to go read to some children, and I get a phone call from my mom, and she's basically crying, and she says, I fell, and she didn't sound good at all. She fell because our dog, now this is the funny part of the story that even she has laughed about numerous times. The dog is like 20 pounds, maybe, on a good day when she's been eating well.
Mm-hmm.
She's small. She's like a poodle Pekingese mix of sorts, but she's very powerful.
Mm.
If she's on the leash, and we have a retractable leash, which that's controversial in itself, I know, but she will take off if she sees a squirrel. She's like, squirrel!
No.
And she will run. So my mom is pretty... trying to be a pretty in shape lady.
Mm-hmm.
But she's almost 70. So she's going to be 70 next year. But she walks 2 to 3 miles almost every day.
Mm.
And then aside from that big walk, she'll walk the dog while I'm at work, my daughter's at school. And keep in mind, we know this whole story. Like, my mom lives with me, so she takes my daughter to school every morning, the whole thing. Really is like another primary caregiver. So this 2 weeks ago, she was walking the dog like normal, and Nala, the dog, saw a squirrel. And my mom, I think, was bending down to pick up poop even, maybe.
Oh.
And she had the leash, and the dog took off and pulled her down.
Mm.
And, I mean, she fell hard. Like right on a curb and like split her lip basically. It didn't split, but it was like huge. It looked like she got beat up bad. It looked like she was in a fight. Like her eye had a gash over it. And so we're about to read to these kids. My mom is crying to me on the phone that she fell. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh.
So Miguel, you had driven to the school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, let's just do this. I'm like, Mom, are you okay in this minute? Are you bleeding profusely anywhere? She says, no. I said, sit down. Just sit down. Don't worry about the dog. She goes, I have laundry. And I go, sit down. So we finish reading to the kids. I then speed home afterwards, and I take one look at her, and I go, we got to go to the hospital because I don't know if she has a concussion.
Right.
Like, she doesn't look good. And plus, maybe selfishly, I'm like, sure, she's like all banged up. Her knees are a mess. I'm like, they can help with this more than I can in this mm-hmm. moment. So we go. And we get to the emergency room. And they're like, oh, this, a dog did this? Oh, goodness. We are like, yes. So it's a crazy day. And everything's, you know, we're getting everything taken care of. And the doctor at the ER is like, oh, we're going to give you a CAT scan because of your age. Because he said to me, like, if it were you, I wouldn't worry about it. We'd bandage you up and send you on your way. But because mm-hmm. she's almost 70 and she took a hard fall, let's do a CAT scan, make sure she's okay.
Right.
So we're waiting. CAT scan comes back. And they go, oh, actually, we're going to need an MRI. So if you guys can just wait a little longer. So we're like, oh. So she gets the MRI done, and we're just sitting around. This poor ER doc comes in, and he looks ashen. Like, oh. He looks grave. And I'm thinking, okay, this isn't good news that he's right. about to tell us. But also, you can tell that he's probably never delivered news like he's about to tell my mom before in a random ER setting.
Right.
He goes, Margaret, you have a mass in your brain. And we're just staring at this man like, what are you talking about? Like, I was like, because of the fall? Is there bleeding? What do you mean, a mass? He said, no, no, this is not related to the fall. This has been there, and we need to send you to a different hospital to go get checked out by a neurological team. At that point, my mom was scared because she's like, what does that mean? What is happening? Right. So we're like, okay, all right, that's fine. Let's do this. So we're kind of like in a blind panic now. Like, what is going on with my mom's brain? Mm. So we go, and that was last Wednesday. So we go to a different hospital. They do, I think, another MRI there, and there was just a lot of confusion that Wednesday night. So I had to call my ex-husband to go pick my daughter up from school. I was like, I don't even remember those few days. Like, right. I don't remember if she stayed with him or she stayed with me. Probably stayed with him because my mom had to be in the hospital that night. They're like, we want to keep you. And then the neurosurgeon is going to talk to you tomorrow. And we were like, about what?
A neurosurgeon. When those words come out.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I feel like this story is going really long, and I'm going to try to try to condense. So that was Wednesday night. Friday, my boyfriend and I are supposed to fly out of town to go to New York on vacation.
That's right.
We had planned for months. And so I'm like, okay, well, we'll talk to this doctor Thursday morning. We'll figure out what's going on, and then we'll still be able to go. My mom will be home probably Thursday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Everything should be as it should be. So then Thursday morning, I get a call from this neurosurgeon as I'm at work, and she's like, well, your mom has a very large meningioma brain tumor. It's a non-cancerous tumor, but it's very large and it needs to come out. So we're going to do two procedures tomorrow. The first one is going to be this procedure that glues off arteries leading to the tumor. The second one is going to be brain surgery to take out this tumor. And I am like, holy shit.
Like, brain? How do we go from my mom fell from walking the dog to now brain surgery?
Correct. So that few days was sort of a whirlwind. We canceled our trip, which thankfully, actually, we were able to rebook everything for later in the month of December because we didn't want to we had spent money on the hotel already and the flights and like shows and things. So we transferred everything to later in the month of December. I'm like, we're good. So Friday rolls around. I call my family because I'm like, this has turned into a thing now.
Right.
My aunt's like, well, I'm flying down. I'm thinking, it should be okay. I think even on Friday, we were like, not really realizing how big this thing was.
Right.
Like, and I mean the experience, not just the tumor. Mm-hmm. Both are big. Then it turns out Thursday morning or Friday morning, they couldn't do both surgeries. Now I'm stressed out because I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't blocked off time from work for all of this. Oh. Like, holy shit, this is so much that's coming at us right now. Now my mom is very overwhelmed and very scared. So we had the weekend before Thanksgiving to kind of plan now, thankfully. Actually, it worked out well.
Right.
She had the first procedure done on that Friday. We had 2 days. My aunt flew into town, kept my mom calm, actually. We did some running around. We were able to get everything together. Brain surgery is scheduled for Monday. So we go to the hospital. She does the surgery, which was very scary. And I'm like, they're in my mom's brain right now. Mm. We found out, by the way, and I saw the x-rays, it's huge, this tumor. The doctor says it's been growing for decades.
Oh my gosh.
And apparently it runs in families because my aunt has one that they haven't operated on because it's small enough and it's not growing. But my mom's was pushing on my brain so much they had to take it out.
Oh my gosh.
So Monday, the surgery takes a long time. We got the word in the late afternoon that she had come through really well. Mm-hmm. So we went back to see her, and I mean, obviously, she'd just gotten through brain surgery. Like, so
I can't even imagine how out of it she must have looked at the time.
Yeah. And she was speaking, you know, she's like, oh, this hurts. When is it going to be over? So she's like in a blur, but she's speaking full sentences. The doctor's like, this is great news. You know, she's speaking. This is going to be, recovery will be great. So I'm like, good. I posted on Facebook. I'm like, mom's great. She went through brain surgery fine. She wakes up Saturday morning. When did she? Oh, Tuesday morning, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And, you know, suddenly cannot communicate, cannot speak, is very confused. Which is, that's more typical of this type of surgery.
What does it sound like when she's not able to communicate? Like, does it sound like, you know, like sometimes looking a deaf person is trying to speak? Is that what it sounds
like? No, all it is she just looks sort of, looked a little bit vacant. Mm-hmm. She's awake, but she looked vacant, and it sounded like she wasn't trying to speak, but then when she did try to say things, it came out as just, that's it.
And she's just looking around.
So that's when I felt like I kind of lost my shit a little bit.
Right.
I might need Kleenex in a little bit.
Okay.
Hold on. Some. So that's Tuesday. But the doctor assured us that that was normal. And most people who have tumors or surgery or anything happen to their brain in the particular region that she had it, speech is lost for a while. Because her tumor was on the part of the brain that controls communication and speech. So she's like, this is actually very normal. She said after a couple of days in the hospital, maybe a week, up to a week, to make sure she's okay, we'll send her to a rehab center for a week or two to help get her speech back. And it may take weeks and months to fully return, but she should be okay. Said, okay. So my brother came in that day. So he saw her that day. And but what was nice about that Tuesday was that my mom was able to physically move around. Like, she was feeding herself. Oh. She just wasn't really, like, it's hard to explain. She wasn't really just communicating. Mm-hmm. So she was quiet. But on Tuesday, now that I think about it, sorry, this timeline is crazy. She was making some faces at us like she understood. Then I'm like, okay, well, we're going to be okay. It was really hard and scary to see my mom like that, by the way, though.
Of course.
Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, we go back to the hospital. It's me, my brother, and my boyfriend. And she does not look well. She looks less well than she looked the day after surgery. And we're like, oh, what happened? She is agitated. She is frustrated. She's aggressive, by the way. But that's, the doctor said, because she was on a lot of steroids to help the swelling in the brain. And that, like, roid rage can make you aggressive. So she's aggressive. She's, I don't know, it's just closed off, still not able to speak at all, but this time kind of just like making moaning noises and looking in pain. So I'm like, what is wrong with her? And they're like, you know, this is typical, just hang with us. She wasn't eating. She looked more vacant than the day before. So we're like, okay, that's fine. We come back on Thanksgiving, day of Thanksgiving, to visit just my brother and I, because he had to leave that day to fly back to Ohio. And we went in the late morning, and she looked even worse, like, if possible. I mean, talk about vacant. She was awake, but not awake. Like, she saw us, didn't greet us like she recognized us.
So y'all, like, walked in the room and nothing?
Nothing. Not even recognition, really. Ugh. And she wasn't saying anything. Moaning a little bit. Looking a wreck. Like, looked to me like someone who has been brain damaged. And I was just heartbroken. And I'm crying, trying not to cry, because then I didn't want to, like, upset her if she could tell that I was, I don't know. So it just was really tough on Thanksgiving. So.
It's okay.
So I was like, is she okay? And they were like, well, we're, you know, monitoring closely. And I'm like, she doesn't look good. But, I mean, they didn't seem to be making a big deal about it. So I, you know, tried not to. And then I went home and I was like, well, we have, which was actually good. Like, we had plans for, you know, your house that day.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was best because, you know, I needed to take my mind off stuff. So we cooked. We ended up going to your house for Thanksgiving. The wine was much needed.
Yes, we had lots of wine on
hand. We did. It was good. So we went home kind of early. Actually ended up going to bed kind of early. And then Friday, I had been planning on just waking up early and going back to the hospital. Well, they called me Friday morning before I could even, like, get dressed. They called it, like, 7 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And it was one of the nurses. who sounded urgent but polite. Mm-hmm. She said, Holly, your mom's not doing well. She doesn't have enough oxygen. She is not protecting her airway. So we, she said, we need to intubate. And we're going to do that because, you know, she's the patient here and we need to make sure that they have the best possible care. And this is what's going to happen. And I was like, okay, I'll be there. So then I didn't know what that meant. So I get there and she is knocked out cold, all of the tubes in. There's a ventilator breathing for her and she's got like just tubes everywhere. Like a cart full of the IV bags and like six different wires going into her arms. And I'm just like, what fucking happened?
Right.
Come to find out over some like some confusing hours, days, I don't know. That whole weekend, this past weekend, was really hard. So that Friday, it turns out that she had somehow over the past few days developed pneumonia, which is not good, can I just say, for an older person. Because I was doing some research, because this whole time I've been Googling things. And when pneumonia is more, you're more susceptible to get pneumonia in the hospital if you're older, if you've had a major surgery like a brain or a spine or something like that, and you're not able to cough up any phlegm.
And apparently she hadn't. That's where it's coming from.
Yeah, she might have eaten, like a piece of food might have gotten in her airway. It's a hospital. Like, they're dirty sometimes. Not that hospitals are, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
there's just a lot of bacteria
around.
in hospitals.
Exactly, yeah.
So at some point she started the developing stages of pneumonia, and I read that especially in elderly people, 30-40% of people that get pneumonia after surgery like that pass away within 30 days. So I'm a nervous wreck. Friday, I went home. There was nothing we could do. I just sat there. My mom's sleeping. I'm like, it's not even any good for us to be here.
Right.
I spoke to her, went home, tried to put up Christmas. All day Friday, I just cried on and off because I was like, how could this happen? Like, I should have, we didn't know that this was going to happen. And I didn't. I just thought, honestly, I really just thought she might die because she looked so bad. And like, I was sort of not preparing for that, but half aware that that could happen. And I wasn't ready. So all weekend, like, I had this hanging over me. So I tried to be at the hospital as much as I could, and I was just, like, a wreck. It was just a wreck. Well, then, on Sunday, I think it was Sunday. I feel like I've lost track. But whatever day, I think it was Sunday afternoon, they said, I got it, that she was starting to have a healthier breathing diagnosis.
Right.
So that was good. But I was still like, okay, well, what does this mean? So over like Friday, Saturday, and then the beginning of Sunday, it was the worst. And then Sunday midday, they were like, she's looking better, and we may be able to take the tubes out. I think that was Sunday. I don't know. I feel like I lost what day is it now?
Today's Wednesday.
Okay, so Sunday, they're like, we're going to try and take the tubes out later tonight or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened on Sunday was that they tried to take the tubes out, and her blood pressure would skyrocket. She's asleep through all of this, by the way. And they couldn't take him out if she had high blood pressure. But when they would try to, it was like a cycle. And then at one point, somebody said, like, if we can't get the tubes out, we'll have to do a tracheotomy where they make a hole in your throat and so she can breathe through. That
God,
was what I thought.
When you hear
Monday
words
morning.
Like tracheotomy, you're like, oh my gosh.
I'm like, and here I thought we were just dealing with a brain tumor.
Right.
And
now
so,
we have to add this in there as well.
Yeah. So then the final good turn, and I feel silly crying now, but it was so much, like, happened Monday. So I got a call, and they said that they're really going to try and take the tubes out Monday, and they managed to. I don't know how or what
you
happened.
You weren't there for that?
I was not.
That's best.
I know.
You do not want to be there for something like that.
No. Even if I was there, I'd been like, y'all do this. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So when I got to the hospital Monday, she was still in the ICU, but she had the tubes removed, and I was just so glad because she was so, sort of awake. And I could look her in the eyeballs, and I was like, come back. Like, hang on. So Monday was better because I was like, they took the tubes out. This is good.
Right.
Where are we at now with the whole brain thing? And are we over this pneumonia thing? I think we're over the pneumonia. But then I wasn't sure since she's still in the ICU. Well, I got a call yesterday, Tuesday, And they said, we moved your mom to a room. She's doing that well. And I was like, oh, God, that's amazing. So I went to the hospital yesterday, Tuesday, and she's in a room. She still does not look good. She does not look good, but she looks better than death. So I was very excited about that. And I'm just worried, you know, she's got to have like round the clock care because she's still not quite able to do things. Like she's still, now she's alert though. She could tell who I was. I came in, she was happy to see me. She still can't say words. She's still saying, although while I was there with her yesterday and I was trying to clean her up a little bit because she's just a mess.
Yeah.
I thought I heard her say, yeah, like in response to a question of mine, but I don't know for sure. So that's where we are.
So now is it just every day you just sort of got to wait and see what happens and get the different updates?
Correct. So I'm my plan, and this had been the plan moving forward, is just to take it one day at a time, visit every day at least 2 hours because we don't have other family here. And I know the other, I know her friends want to visit her in the hospital, but I don't really want them to right now. And I don't think she'd want them to right now either because she doesn't want people to see her this way. And I think it would just be more overwhelming for her like this.
Right. Because when people come, you have a rapport with her. And if, you know, people just show up and they're like, how are you, Margaret? What's going on? And then she can't communicate. And then that frustrates her because she wants to be, your mom is a communicator and she wants to be able to talk.
Right.
And so that just would not.
I don't think it'd be very good. Yeah. But we don't have other family that can visit. So I'm trying to be there as much as I can. Mm-hmm. That whole week and a half of like the crazy time, my daughter was with her father. And I have to give such big shouts out to my ex-husband's girlfriend, who's a nurse herself. And I mean, I feel like she's my BFF at this moment because as they had my daughter and she's now she has never spent weeks with him.
Mm-hmm.
She was over there for like a week and a half all through over Thanksgiving. And my ex-husband's girlfriend took Maya to school and was just really there in a pinch. And she's like, don't worry about Maya. We got it. But then she'd be texting me and she'd be like, well, what did they say? So I'd tell her like the nurse lingo and then she'd like decode it for me and told me what to ask them so we could get more information that they may not have volunteered. So it was incredibly helpful and so kind.
That's great.
It was like a blessing to have her. So then this weekend on Sunday, we got Maya back, and now my boyfriend, Mr. Dimples, has been like taking Maya to school because that used to be my mom's job. So he stepped up in such a big way, and I was worried at first because I was like, this is a lot of responsibility that I'm just shoving onto you, but he wants it. Right. He actively likes being a dad because he's got his own kid and he doesn't get to see her all the time like he'd like. So he really enjoys parenting and he likes to be a dad, and so he's been amazingly instrumental in this whole process. He's been like the rock. Like he's was with me in the hospital most of the time and like just let me cry a lot of the time, and he's been so amazing. So we're starting a new normal. So he's taking Maya to school and I'm gonna go to the hospital every day for a few hours and I'll pick Maya up from school, and so that's my life right now.
Oh.
It changed in 2 weeks.
Jesus.
I'm sorry that took so long.
No, it's, listen, that's your life. That is your life.
So, it's my life.
What is sort of the, outside of just sort of sadness and grief, what is sort of like the other emotions that you're feeling right now?
I don't, it's been a really a whirlwind. I would say it's been weird, and this freaked me out for a while. After my auntie Pearl left, I was like, oh my God, I am the adultiest adult in this room right now.
Right.
Like, I'm the adult. I have to be. I don't have anything to lean back on. So that has been kind of scary, but sort of just a taking on of a responsible burden, I guess.
Right.
Not a burden, but a mantle. I have really felt gratitude, I mean, more than anything, for the people who want to help, who have offered to help and then followed through, who have come out of the woodwork and just been so kind. And I'm like, I didn't even know we were this close, but look at you helping out and bringing flowers and everything. Like, it's been really, I have had a lot of gratitude lately. And it's really helped me to live more in the moment. I like to think of myself as an in the moment, or I try to function as an in the moment liver, mm-hmm. because I know that we have today, but it's hard sometimes to focus on that when you're in the minutia. Right. And when nothing wrong has happened in your life for a while, like I went through the divorce and like a heartbreak and separate things like 2 years ago, and that was like a grief period.
Right.
And then, you know, it's been kind of balanced for about a year and a half.
It's like everything's just easing along nice and easily.
You go to work, you go mm-hmm. home, you eat dinner, you mm-hmm. got your nap, and you just do this thing, and after a while it becomes very mundane and you're looking to the next thing and the next thing, and then some shit like this will really just halt you and be like, hey, you have today. Wow. So be grateful for who you have in your life at this moment. And if you have people in your life that aren't serving you in a good purpose, why are you keeping them here?
I think that's a perfect lesson.
Yeah.
And that was going to be, what is your takeaway thus far in this experience? And I think that's absolutely perfect.
That would be my big takeaway.
Because, I mean, when you think about it, when you go through something like this, you want people that are going to follow through, that are going to be there. So why waste your time on people that you know will not be there in times of need?
Right.
And who you wouldn't want to be for.
Right, exactly.
Who you wouldn't want to be there for.
Yeah. And that's okay. Like, if it's too much of a burden to be there for someone when they really need you, that's okay, because maybe that's not your close friend or whatever. And you can still be acquaintances with that person. Doesn't mean you have to shut them totally out of your life.
No,
but
it's
you
true.
Don't have to put, you do not have to devote your time and energy to someone or something that's not fully beneficial to you.
That's what I told to one of my best friends who, you know, suffers with depression. And there was a time he went through a really, really bad downward spiral of it. And we sort of became distant, and we've now reconnected. And I was like, I didn't know how to help you. Like, I loved you when I was there for you and all these other times, but your spiral was so bad, I was about to be pulled down and I didn't know what to do. So I had to back away.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to do that so people can help themselves.
You do. And sometimes that's the lesson.
Yeah.
Sometimes the lesson or the biggest help is not being there or whatever the case may be. I just feel like people are put in your life. Certain people are put in your life for a reason at a certain time. And sometimes they're taken away at a certain time also. And they all serve a purpose for that. And it's so that you can learn and grow. Because we always just got to keep growing, obviously.
Right.
So you take that day's lesson and then you move to the next day, but then you still have to appreciate what you got going on and constantly be reevaluating, are you on your right path and who is with you on your journey? That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Lessons you learn about how many times Ryan has sex during Thanksgiving.
Numerous.
And you learn about life lessons from Holly, getting through this situation with her mother. You learn about everything with Miguel and Holly Uncensored.
You do.
Holly, how can people keep in contact with you and sort of wish you, send you some positive energy on social media?
You can hit me up on Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook, or you can add me on Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter, and that is Radio Holly. And like I said, if you've already reached out to me, thank you. I mean, I've seen all of them. I've seen every single comment and like and post and tweet and snap. It's all meant so much. And that actually made me want to reach out to people more. Because sometimes you see people are going through some shit on Facebook and you're mm-hmm. like, ugh.
Right.
I don't know what to say, so I'm just going to keep on scrolling.
You didn't see that I saw.
Right. But it's made me more want to reach out to someone having a hard time and even just leave a note. I don't have to do anything if they're not my close friend, but just saying, hey, I feel you. I'm right there.
That's all it
helps.
Takes.
It totally helps. Even if you don't think it does, it does.
Producer Ryan, what's all of your social media?
It's Radio McGib, MCGIB.
And mine is Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. We will see you next week.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot 101.5 TampaBay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.